Stephen going to let me know how long I've been speaking. Well, as we look around, especially from where we live, we can see that this year seems to have been a fairly decent harvest. The farmers have all got their crops in, the seeds of all, the fields have all been replanted and ready for next year going. Downstairs there's a big box of apples and pears that just shows how good the fruit has been there coming off the trees. It's the same at Wardley. We have a big box there where people can come and help themselves to what is a bountiful harvest. Now, how do we look to ourselves when we talk about a bountiful harvest? We just read there from Galatians that John read. I want you to picture, if you can, a bowl of fruit. Sorry, for those who don't understand, Geordie, a dish of fruit. And in that dish of fruit, there are all sorts of different types. There are dozens of them. Now, I like most fruits, but I don't like all fruit. There are some that just not me. And when we have read this passage, this verse, chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. How do you stack up in that? Do you fulfill all of these different types of fruits? Well, I mean, this one, patience. I'm sure patience is my middle name, because we'd be driving in the car and Glory would be going, patience, patience. You know, so I'm sure she thinks patience is my middle name. No, I think I've declared there, I am not a patient person. I like everything to be done yesterday, unless Gloria has said to us she wants this job doing or that job doing, well, then I can be patient. I can leave it for tomorrow or whenever. But patience isn't one of my virtues. As I say, I'm not the most patient of people. So I'm let down there very badly because it's one of the particles of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, as we said this morning, we aren't all endowed with the same level of achievements. We do the best with what we can. As I read through this list, I can say love, yes, I love. And the main love that I have is for a Heavenly Father. But there are other sort of things that I love. But I can say yes, that joy. Now, I'm usually quite a happy type of person. And I can get along quite easy. I look for the good, if I can, in people. I can sort of fill this much of the good that I can see in people, but if I start looking for the bad I find in people, then I have to stop and say, Jim, look at yourself first. Get that plank out of your eye before you try to remove the mort out of other people's eye. Yeah, so that's one thing which I have to try and do. Peace? Yeah, I've never really come to blows with anyone yet, except for one lad when I was at school, and he tried to stab us with a compass, and I hit him. And for that, I received 6 of the best on there, and so I've never hit anyone since. Kindness? A little bit of, I'm not exactly the kindest person, but once again, I look at myself and think, how can I improve myself? That's the reason behind exhortations, isn't it? We have to look at ourselves and think, how can I improve these little bits? goodness, well, goodness and kindness seem to come into the same category as far as I am. Faithfulness. Yeah. I have faith. I have great faith. There are times when things might not be going wrong, but that does not decrease my faith. I know I am part of a plan that God has for this world, and I live for it. So I have faithfulness. I tell people about the faith that I have, and this gentleness, self-control. Self-control seems to come in a little bit with patience, doesn't it? I'm very impatient. Now, luckily it says here, against such things there's no law. So, I am trying to improve myself. And this talk that I'm about to give is how I can improve myself with patience. I think of all these attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, patience is the one of which I am more lacking than any of the others. So I look at this and I think, well, what can I do? How can I improve myself? We're talking about fruit. We've mentioned the bountiful harvest. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. To bear fruit, to become more fruitful, we look at the one who is the true vine. We look at the one who all of these attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, he fulfilled. Now, Jesus was able to do that. And we have to strive to be like Jesus. And the more we associate ourselves with Jesus, the more we can become like him. The more of the sap we take from his root, the more we can become like him. So we have to be like Jesus, to look to Jesus, to feed from Jesus, to become patient. We, in my case, I have been in the meeting for over 50 years. As I was baptized, I came out of the waters of baptism and thought, well, the way the world is going, Jesus will be here soon. 50 years later, I'm still waking up on a morning and praying that this might be the day when Jesus returns. The day when God has said, enough is enough, and Jesus comes back to the earth. The psalmist writes these words, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Patience. In a way, I do have that side of patience. And yet, have I that patience? Because every day, as I say, I pray that this might be the day when God will send Jesus back to the earth. Am I impatient? Or is it an impatience in a good way? An impatience that is trying to do God's will. Because God says to pray for him. Just like the unjust judge and the persistent widow, depending which way you want to call it. Am I like that widow praying? But God isn't an unjust judge. God is a just judge. And he listens to our prayers. And so each time I lift my voice to him, I ask that he sends Jesus patience. Now, patience is a thing that has gone through the world since the world began. When we read in Hebrews 11, we read that chapter of faith. You know, and it goes right back to people who've been waiting for God. If we go back to Adam, there we have, okay, the first time when the fruit that was taken wasn't one of the fruit. I always get that mixed up. I always call it fruits of the Spirit, but it's not. It's fruit of the Spirit. They're all different types of fruit, just as we're all different type of people. And we all have different attributes, as we mentioned once again this morning. We don't have the same things, but we do the best with what we can. So we go back to Adam. And then we go back, come forward a little bit in time to Enoch. Enoch, who walked in God's ways, such that we read that God took him. Now from Enoch, even through Abraham waited for God. And so in Hebrews 11, we're told by faith these people did it. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Just as we, I said, I think myself that I do have a faith, that my faith is such that I look and I see and I want for God to fulfill what he has promised. I have faith in that. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things, for by it the people of old received their commendation. So these people of old, the Abrahams, the Davids, they have waited for a long time for their fulfillment of their belief to come to pass. If we take the Gregorian calendar, we've got 6,000 years we've been waiting. Some people think it's a lot longer than that. But 6,000 years, and God still hasn't set up that kingdom. Where's the patience that we have? But the patience that we have coming from our Heavenly Father is he is patient towards us. It's not that we are impatient waiting for him. He's patient towards us. Peter writes these words, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you." Now why should God be patient towards each one of us? Surely the best thing would be for the kingdom to come. But carry on as we read through this. He is not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. There's the patience of God. God is patient with people, hoping that they will turn from their ways. God doesn't force people to do things. God might test them, but he doesn't force them to do things. Those who don't want to accept God will not accept God. But those who do accept him, those are the ones that God is patient. If God had said, right, Jesus has come to the earth, he was born of Mary, I'm going to make him king of the Jews. If that had happened 2,000 years ago, where would we be? We wouldn't be in a kingdom. Kingdom would have been established and we wouldn't be here. But God is patient. He has waited until you and I have accepted him, have come to him, have done what he wants us to do, have recognized his goodness, his kindness, his benevolence, all of the things that God has done for each one of us. God, in his patience, has brought that to us. You know, there was a time when was God impatient? Time of Noah. He destroyed the world because the world had gone away from him. And there was found one righteous man, Noah. Peter once again writes these words. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through water. How long was Noah on building that ark? Here we have a time. There might be a bit of controversy here, but we didn't have any rain before Noah. The earth was watered by the dew that came. And I think that the only time we had rain was here. This was the first time that rain appeared on the earth, when the fountains of the deep were opened. And okay, they maybe had boats, or sorry, once again, be the Geordie ships, so they could sail. But you built a ship where the water was. And here's this man building a ship on the top of a hill. And he's proclaiming to people and telling people as he's building this ship that the day is going to come when God will flood the earth. You have got time to repent. God is patient. All the time Noah is building this ship, until the day that Noah entered into the ship and God shut the door. That's it. Patience no more. And we know what happened. The flood came and the ark lifted up and mankind was drowned. So God is patient. He's giving everyone the chance to come to him. People are impatient. I am impatient, as I've said. People become impatient with God. The children of Israel left Egypt with Moses. And they weren't long out of Egypt in the wilderness when there was no food for them, when there was no drink for them. And God supplied their needs through Moses. He gave them the manna and he gave them the water from the rock. But after a while, the people said, the people became impatient in the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. They loathe this worthless, this manna, this bread which was keeping them alive, the quail that was coming, that they could eat flesh. They didn't want it. They were impatient with God. And so they were punished, as we know. They were made to walk for 40 years. How patient would they have to be now? 40 years they would have to walk through that wilderness. So there's the impatience of man and the patience of God. God is always trying to let people turn to him. There's no forcing of people to turn to him. He lets people turn to him. There was rebellions in that wilderness walk over the 40 years. Korah, Dathan and Abiram. We know the story there. The golden calf. We know the story there. People are always looking for excuses not to believe in God. There's a program on television. I don't have Sky, but obviously I get Freeview. Channel 19, the Yesterday channel. And twice a week, well, 3 times a week, they have a program on about the Bible, trying to prove the Bible. This week it was about Jericho. And a man came out and he said, yeah, Jericho happened. We have got archaeological evidence to say that Jericho happened. The timing is right. Everything is right. Jericho and God caused this. So we accept that. But then within minutes, someone comes along and says, no, the archaeological evidence is all wrong, God didn't do this, blah, blah, blah. They're always trying to destroy what God has come up with. You know, we have this, who's this scientist who's on about the planet so far, can help?
Brian Cox.
Yeah, you know, he's on about the size of the universe and this couldn't have happened. And he tries to let us believe that God didn't create the world was created. And now they're saying that we've got, you know, we're going to find life on Mars. Anything to take away the God app, we'll call it, as we said this morning. So we've got to depend, like we said this morning once again, to build this house on the rock. There's so much going on around us where people are trying to take us away from God. But we have to be patient. And in God's good time, he will bring about what he has promised and send the Lord Jesus back to us. So, what do we need to do? How do we need to respond to what God is asking of us? Let's again look at Psalms again. None who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait all the day long. Once again, here's David. David's seeing what's happening. What has happened to him? What happened to Saul? What is happening to the nations around him? We said this morning about all the turmoil that is going on in the world. And we look at David as we're reading through Chronicles. And you see that the battles that David is fighting on a regular basis. He had all this, and yet he knows that God is there to protect him, to help him, to save him. And so we have to be like that. Now, when Jesus was born, he was taken up to the temple on the eighth day to be presented to the Lord. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. We are Simeon. We might not be devout, but we're waiting for the consolation of Israel. We're waiting for the God of Israel to establish once again that kingdom that we're reading about in the Chronicles. So this is what we're waiting for. And so we have to accept that God will do it in his own good time. We just mentioned the birth of Jesus and Simeon waiting. What about the death of Jesus? When evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, he took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. So at the birth of Jesus was someone who was waiting for the kingdom. At the death of Jesus, we have someone who was waiting for the kingdom. And 2,000 years since then, we are waiting for the kingdom. Our prayers to our Heavenly Father are similar to the prayers of the apostles. When Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared to them in that upper room, they said to Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's what we say every day in our prayers. Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So, it's in God's hands. God has a plan. God's calendar is different to our calendars. We mark off the day and it's gone. God has a time fixed. And when that time comes, he will be ready for it. The psalmist once again says, how long must the servant endure? How long, O Lord, do we have to get up in the morning, go through life? How long do we have to endure illnesses? How long do we have to endure hardships? In a lot of cases throughout the world, how long do we have to endure suffering? Look at all these migrants who are fleeing from the countries the other side of the Mediterranean. How long must they suffer before the Lord Jesus comes back? What I'm longing for are the words from Isaiah. And I'll tell you where to look if you want to get this one, because it's important. It's Isaiah 25, it's verse 9. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. That's the day we're all looking forward to. That's the day we pray for, morning, evening, night. Our prayers are for that to be the day. But until that day comes, and it's in God's hands, we have got this. We come to remember the goodness, to remember the patience of God in taking bread and wine. And we pray that one day the Lord Jesus will fulfill that promise when he said, I will no longer drink the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And let's pray that we, as we patiently wait for him to come, that day will be soon.